is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Walking with the Lord.
I know they're saved. I know they're saved because I saw all those works. How long ago? 20 years ago when they gave their life to the Lord. Man, they were really serving. He was assistant pastor and everything. Well, where are they now? Well, they're backslidden. 18 years? Yeah. Man, he's just, man, the devil's really beating him up. I wonder about those things because the Lord says to be prepared. And I think we need to not get critical, not judge someone's salvation, not say, you're not saved because I haven't seen fruit in 20 years. But we need to kind of take this tension that the scriptures give us about fruit and saved by grace.
Have you ever known someone that used to walk with the Lord, go to church, and even do good works, yet fell away from Him? Today, Pastor Troy will be explaining to us that endurance with the Lord and a transformed life is the only proof of salvation in someone's life. If someone walks away from God, they may have never known Him. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
So there's this call and it happens suddenly. Now the word suddenly here doesn't mean it's going to happen soon, but when it happens, it's going to happen right now. And you may think, you may live your life today thinking it's not going to happen soon. And maybe you're right. I mean, there have been many, many who've lived and died and it didn't happen in their lifetime. Although they anticipated it, they looked forward to it. Many of them prepared for it. Many of them did not. But one thing is true. It's going to happen. And one day, a group, a generation is going to be wrong. And it's going to happen suddenly. But let me just tell you this. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. So your suddenly may not be in the form of the rapture. Your suddenly may be in the form of death. Something taking you so that you can't make that decision. You know, you get sick terminally and you die. You're not in control of that. And so what was going on in your life? Were you preparing? I mean, is it better to die before the rapture so you have grace versus these rapture guys who are there and if you're not prepared, you don't go? No, I think that same idea, that same principle holds true for everyone. Are you preparing? What is the way that you died? You need to be ready now. You need to be preparing for the Lord's coming because that says what's in your heart. It tells us what your treasure is. Because once he calls, it's too late. Now, verse 7 says, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Now, check all this out. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. The wise and the foolish. We have a parable that teaches us that there is a separation going on, and the separation is taking place based upon priorities, responsibilities. It reminds me of that scripture Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. If you're going to prioritize anything, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All the other stuff, you'll get that. Don't seek after that. The Gentiles, the pagans seek after that. Don't go there first. Don't say, oh, I got to find these things and then I'll find my hiding spot. Get your eternity. Get your eternal things in order first. Become a follower of Christ. The condition. All of them trimmed their lamps. Notice that. All of them had lamps. All of them were prepared. All of them were waiting. All of them were together in one group. Everything was the same. To me, it's a picture of the external things that we all get in order. You can't tell any difference in some. They all look the same in the churches. You get them all in the church, they all look the same. You right now, you might feel, man, I got so much to get together in my life. And you look around and you see others and you think, man, they've all got it together. But I guarantee you they don't. Because someone else is looking at you as one of the others. And they're thinking the same thing. So we have this external facade that it looks like everything's prepared. But the difference is not all had enough oil. It's not that one group didn't have any oil. And I will kind of touch on how oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Although, to go the direction I'm going right now, I don't believe that God gives the Holy Spirit and then does not take those people with him to heaven. So there's a lot to wrestle with in this text if you do totally give this over to being those who are filled with the Holy Spirit go and those who are not do not, because the oil is already in them. They just don't have enough. Here's what I think about when I see this. The difference in inspiration or emotion and the Holy Spirit. Inspiration, emotion, those are temporary. We all get inspired. You watch a video, boom, you're inspired. You listen to a message, you listen to a teaching on the radio, you get inspired. You watch a workout video, you watch something else, and you get inspired. And so we're going to do this, and you're on, man, I'm on fire, and you're going for it. And it kind of fizzles out because it was inspiration. It was emotion. But there's a difference in those who are simply inspired and those who are Holy Spirit filled. Because when someone is filled with the Spirit of God, there's not this sense of flash in the pan. Wow, oh yeah, oh, free falling down. And then like, hey, they went away. They went away. Where are they at? They were walking with the Lord. I know they're saved. I know they're saved because I saw all those works. How long ago? 20 years ago when they gave their life to the Lord. Man, they were really serving. He was assistant pastor and everything. Well, where are they now? Well, they're backslidden. 18 years? Yeah. Man, the devil's really beating him up. I wonder about those things. Because the Lord says to be prepared. And I think we need to not get critical, not judge someone's salvation, not say, you're not saved because I haven't seen fruit in 20 years. But we need to kind of take this tension that the Scriptures give us about fruit and saved by grace. And it's a natural tension the Scriptures give us. Doesn't want anyone to get so grace, grace, grace. I don't have to do anything. I'm just going to heaven. How do you know? Got the card. And then so works-oriented that if you don't have works, you're not saved because you're not saved by works. But there is this tension that says, well, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to carry it on to completion. That there's this work. It's a process of being changed and growing in the Lord. Those who are flash in the pan, they light up, they ignite, and then they die down. They don't end. They don't finish the race. But those who are filled with the Holy Spirit, they seem to finish. Maybe they never impress anyone. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But it's consistent. Where do you find yourself? Are you one of those that you need the videos? You know those pyramid schemes, those pyramid businesses? They rely heavily on conferences, videotapes, audio tapes, all of those things. Because what they want you to do is watch them and be re-inspired. I remember I got involved with one of those groups one time. Oh, you need this one tape. Oh, you need that. Have you heard this tape? They're passing tapes, man. You listen to the tape. You listen to the tape. Oh, yeah, I got to get it. I got to get it. I got to run. And you're running the race and you're excited again and you're inspired. I can do this. And then it goes down again. You need another tape, another fix. So much of what the world offers us, so much of what comes from the world is just like that. Drugs are just like that. Relationships are just like that. You get involved in a relationship. Oh, they love me so much. They want to be around me. They call me. They talk to me. And then the relationship exists for a period of time. And, well, the love is not the same. And so what happens is, I need more inspiration. Oh, this guy, he loves me. Whether it's online or someone at work. Oh, someone really cares about me over here. And we need that flash again. That's inspiration. It's being inspired, but the wrong kind of inspiration. It's fleeting. It's misleading. But the Holy Spirit governs us. He guides us by His Word, and that's what directs us and governs us. And we're not dependent upon how things feel as much as what we know. And I guarantee you, if I went by how I felt, I don't know where I would be. And I'm talking as a Christian. I'm talking as a pastor. I depend heavily on what I know to be true. And sometimes that's all I'm depending on. Others will look at you and they'll think, oh, you don't have any struggles. You're always doing well. But you'll know different. I want to encourage you. If you feel depressed, if you feel discouraged, if you feel down, if you feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulders, that's normal. We're in a fallen world. Others feel it too. You may not see it in them because they're picking up their cross. They're trying to follow the Lord. Not being fake, but they're following hard after Him. Sometimes feels harder than others. And in the process, they're willing to help others pick up their cross despite how tired they are, despite what's going on in their life. There are those in here among us that are just like that. So you're not alone in your hurts and in your struggles. But don't be depending upon just inspiration. We need it. The Word of God gives it to us for sure. And other Christians, other believers, we look to them and we're inspired. Did you know that Martin Luther struggled with depression? Struggled with depression. This is a man that was a reformer. This was a man that figured, man, this guy is so close to God that he would sacrifice everything in his life. But he spent so much time, his poor wife, I think it was his wife, that was the one who came in and said, hey, we should just write, God is dead. just get in black and have a funeral, because the way you're acting, you're not serving a living God. It seems like He's dead. It's hard. It's hard to follow after the Lord. That's why He's given us the Holy Spirit, who keeps us steady. You don't feel like getting up one day. And so by the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your heart, you offer your body and you get up anyway. And you follow the Lord and you find at the end of the day, it was worth it. That God did some amazing things. And on the days that it is the hardest, you find God does some of the greatest things. God speaks so clearly, or God uses you in some way that makes it all so worth it. And if nothing else is worth it for you that day, you lay your head on your pillow and you remember, maybe God brings it to remembrance. You remember, I was going to sleep in and this day was going to go downhill very fast. But Lord, at the very least, I overcame enough to have an average day. And sometimes average is really good. Compared to where we could be if we gave in to our flesh, right? So, the difference in these two. One group had enough oil, but not enough. Or had oil, but not enough to get them over the hump. The other group had enough. They were prepared. Some of the preparation could be in spending time with the Lord. If you don't realize you're running low, you're not going to go to the store and get the oil, right? Sometimes you got to really just, actually not sometimes, all the time, we need to be in the presence of the Lord so He can say, you're a little low, let's fill it up a little bit. worship me. Have you ever been in a situation where you're seeking the Lord? Lord, I don't know what's going on. I just feel, and he tells you, just stop complaining and worship me. Or maybe it's a text. He says, you know, stop complaining and read this scripture. I don't know if you've experienced that or not. I have. You're like, I don't feel like worshiping you. That's the whole point. So I want you to get your mind off of how you feel, because your feelings are wrong. And I want you to worship me. We see in verse 11, afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. The point is this, what we do in this life does matter. Whether we're preparing, especially how we finish. Now, we can't always be in church. We can't always be singing psalms and hymns and raising our hands and praying, because honestly, we have decisions to make. We go on with life as normal, right? We got decisions to make, mortgages to pay. We've got to earn an income. We've got children to raise. Both the wise and the foolish slept. They both slept. That's a picture of what happens naturally. Hey, it's late. It's what you do. But there was a difference in their preparedness. One could afford to sleep. The other couldn't. One of the things that concerns me and should concern, I think, more is that just because people go to church, quote the Bible, carry the Bible, sing Christian songs, it doesn't mean that they would all fit into the wise bridesmaids category. All of them trimmed the lamps. All of them had the look and the feel and the smell and even the light. One just didn't have enough. And I believe that there are even churches all over that are filled with, maybe even this church, unprepared, unrepentant, unsaved people who've heard all of it. They believe it. I believe he's coming. They're hanging with the wise, listening, asking for counsel, and yet do not live as though they are preparing for him. You know, you ever hosted an event at your home? When you host, there seems to be a lot more cleaning going on. Now that's when I've heard some husbands say, wow, we should have more events over here. The house would actually get clean. Let's have one every day. The idea is that there are some who don't clean at all, but when company's coming over, then they clean. And then there are some that try to always, it's not that you're always clean. Don't get me wrong. Everything's not always in its place. You know, you got kids and you know, maybe your husband's like a kid. He doesn't put stuff back, you know. But it's not always perfect. But you're always making an effort to try to keep things up versus the others that care less until somebody is coming. There's a different level of preparedness. The Christians who are really genuinely following the Lord should fall into the camp. It's hard work and we're preparing. We're constantly, we want to be ready for a drop-in guest. If someone should just choose to drop in, I want them to be able to. That's the Christian life. We're living it that way. That's the life of the prepared person. And what really concerns me is, if I don't know that he's really intending to give us percentages here or not, but he suggests that half of those who should be prepared, who look like they're part of those who would be prepared, half of those won't go in. Now, that's just a little wow thing for me. I don't know if that's what he intends, but I wonder if that's what it's going to look like in the end. Those who should have known, could have known, would have known, should have prepared, but didn't live the way to prepare. There's a difference, again, and being just an inspired person and being a spirit-filled person. The spirit-filled person is without excuse. because we have the Holy Spirit. Whenever you follow Jesus, you're always being renewed. You're always being filled. If you're following him, there are times you're being led beside still waters, but then there are times you're being led into hard service. It's difficult. It's a life characterized by faith. Whenever you're simply inspired, it runs out. And speaking of those who would return to the world, John said in 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, they went out from us. In other words, they left us. They turned back. They were with us, but they went out from us, but were not of us. Because if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Oh, yeah. 2 minutes. Okay. Billy Graham. Billy Graham was a man who we have seen his life played out now. But he was a young up-and-comer evangelist at one time that the world was in awe of. But did you know that Billy Graham was just a second, really? He was just an underling, someone else, another voice that came along, because there was a man named Chuck Templeton who was the rage, the man, the Billy Graham of his time. Eloquent speaker, very excited, very motivated. People gave their lives to the Lord through his ministry. Billy Graham came and was just kind of the undershow, the warm-up. Well, as life played out, Chuck Templeton turned his back on the Lord. There were things that he just never truly wholeheartedly accepted. And as long as those things didn't get in the way, hey, he was still, man, right on. Preaching, teaching, pastor of a huge church, evangelizing people, giving their life to the Lord, a light. But his light went out. He didn't have enough oil to overcome some things in his heart that he didn't want to believe or just could not accept. In his book, Farewell to God, he wrote, I had always doubted the Genesis account of creation and could never accept the monstrous evil of an endless hell. And it was as they were at a movie, they were watching, and they saw some of the war scenes of all the crime going on against the Jews during the Holocaust. And he's like, how could a loving God, a good God, allow this? And his faith began to diminish. He began to turn his back. He tried to look for answers rather than by faith and saying, look, I know God's good. I just don't understand how to reconcile these. He said, look, I can't overcome that. And so I'm going to turn my back on it. Now, everyone has a different level, whether it's the Genesis account and evil or your own pet sins. I'm in. I'm going to follow the Lord. What? You want me to deal with that? I'm out. Do you have enough oil? Do you have the genuine oil that would allow you to overcome, to be ready in the end? Or is it limited? Chuck Templeton was not really prepared, turned his back on God and died an atheist. His light had shone, but it ran out. How do we make sure we're ready so the lights don't go out and we have enough oil to last? One, ensure that you have a genuine relationship with Jesus. Ensure that you have a genuine relationship with Jesus. Two, ensure you have a right relationship with Jesus. It's by faith, not by sight. Everything may not make sense to you, and that's got to be okay. The whys that you have, why this, why that, they may not get answered, but do you trust in Jesus? Hebrews 10:38 says, the just shall live by faith. And three, ensure you have a ready relationship with Jesus. Because what you do in this life preparing matters while we're waiting. Are you preparing?
In this day and age in which we live, it's easy to get distracted by everything that's going on around us. The hustle and bustle of life tends to keep us from the things that are truly important as followers of Christ. While there's simply no substitute for the personal reading of God's Word, programs like Building on the Solid Rock are a huge blessing that God uses in the discipleship of countless people. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. For more information about our ministry or to access the archive of messages, log on to our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can subscribe to our podcast while you're there or search for us in the iTunes store under Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. It's absolutely free. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us. We invite you to join us again next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us. Come.